Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
In December, the Sugar Plum Fairy dances. Everybody knows that. The Nutcracker Ballet, in which the Sugar Plum Fairy stars, has long been a holiday season favorite. But we turn now to a Sugar Plum Fairy less well known. A Sugar Plum Fairy coming to us from Australia and celebrating not the bravery of young Clara and the Nutcracker Prince, but delivering marshmallow glucose to dancers representing the beta cells of the human pancreas. Other dancers leap about with headlamps, calling to the minds of at least some observers the crux of this particular Sugar Plum Fairy's PhD thesis, the effect of vitamin D on insulin production. Why would graduate student Sue Lin Lau and her cast of helpers be doing such a thing? Because the gonzo scientist challenged her to do it in the second annual Dance Your PhD contest. In a stretch which may have even people who went along with skillet-tossing, wife-carrying, and underwater rugby wondering what I was thinking, I spoke to the gonzo scientist this week. I suggested that when he challenged grad students, postdocs, and professors to participate in a competition by creating and filming a dance based on their scientific research in just 6 weeks, he couldn't have expected more than a few responses, given how busy scientists are and how badly most of them probably dance.
Well, that's what I had feared, but the amazing thing was that in the end, about 100 scientists took part, producing 3 dozen dances.
Well, obviously, our scientists are not busy enough doing science.
Well, if you watch every single dance and read the accompanying text that mm-hmm. each of the scientists wrote, mm-hmm. you actually learn a lot of science. So I think a lot of people feel this is okay because it falls within public outreach.
Well, I'm curious. You talk about the quality of the science and the quality of the dance. How do you decide a winner? Is there some relationship between the two, 60-40, 50-50?
So that was tricky. I worked this out the first time around. I said to the judges first, watch this dance as if you knew nothing about the science. Just judge it on its merits as a dance.
Mm-hmm.
Then put on your science hat and say, how cleverly did they extract a piece of their research to translate it? And that's a hard task, especially if you've got a very complex PhD. You can't just tell the whole story with every detail. You have to choose some nuanced inner part of it. And so then they had to judge how well they extracted that. And then the final category was how well did they bridge those two things? How well did they bridge art and science?
Uh-huh.
And each of those was a 10-point scale for a possible total of 30.
As I mentioned earlier, scientists are not generally the best dancers at the prom or the spring social or at their reunions. Were you worried?
I challenge you on that, sir.
Oh, you do? Oh, excellent. Well, tell me about it. I mean, perhaps I'm completely wrong.
Well, so, you know, I had the same notion until I became a scientist. My dad's a scientist. Actually, maybe he's not a good example because he's pretty wild on the dance floor. But I went to a number of scientific conferences back before I was a journalist, when I was a scientist, and I always had the most amazing time at the dances. It's like a wedding. You know, it starts off incredibly awkward, and then in the case of scientists, there's always that one Russian postdoc. You know, I don't know why. I think maybe it's the same guy who shows up at all these conferences. And he just gets this thing going, and then eventually I find the scientists are amazing dancers.
All right. Well, I'll withdraw the question, although I'm glad I asked it because I enjoyed the answer.
Well, you've now seen about 100 scientists dancing.
I have seen bits and pieces of a great many scientists dancing, and my only hope is that fans of serious dance won't be put off by the titles of some of these performances, because it would be a real shame to miss, for example, resolving pathways of functional coupling in human hemoglobin using quantitative low-temperature isoelectric focusing of asymmetric mutant hybrids.
Isn't that just beautiful?
Winners, of course, get a chance to see their works reimagined by an actual professional choreographer. The finished works will be performed at the annual meeting for the American Association of the Advancement of Science in February. Will those dances, do you think, be similar to what we've already seen on YouTube?
I doubt it, actually, for two reasons. One is that I think the choreographers who are creating those dances right now as we speak will be mindful of creating something fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And the second reason is that they're not interpreting the PhD of these scientists, which is what generated the YouTube dance. Instead, I've asked each scientist to hand over some current research, currently published research. And their task this week and next is to answer any question that those choreographers have until they actually understand the science.
I see. And so did you pick choreographers who would at least be able to ask intelligent questions?
Well, it was a self-selecting process. So the choreographers who were the most interested in taking part in this project are hidden science geeks, in fact. Some of them are actually married to scientists.
This is the second Dance Your PhD contest. How did the idea for the first one come to you?
I was drunk, honestly. I just want you to know the reality. You could also use this answer. There was a big party that was going to happen in Vienna with a molecular biologist DJ. He made music that was based on samples of noise taken from molecular biology labs.
Oh.
So DNA sequencers, the mating dances of fruit flies. There are a lot of bizarre noises in the laboratory. Anyway, so he was going to have this DJ event, and it was going to be piled high with scientists. And so I proposed, well, let's add something to warm them up to get the dancing going. So that's when I proposed that we should do a dancer PhD contest. And I filmed it. And the story just kind of became a runaway hit. It was covered by the New York Times, and I was interviewed by CNN and The Guardian. And emails just started pouring in from all over the world from scientists saying, well, when's the next PhD dance? And, of course, there was no other PhD dance. So eventually, I think by the third dozen email, I realized I better organize one fast. And since these scientists were all over the world, including Australia, it couldn't be a real live event. I'd have to make it on YouTube.
You call yourself the Gonzo Scientist because you participate in the science that you cover. So will you be dancing?
So I participated in the first one. I guess I'd call it a surreal breakdance interpretation of a genetic network. I think there's an implicit rule that once you've danced your PhD, it can never be done again.
John Bohannon is a contributing correspondent for the journal Science, and he's the founder of the Dance Your PhD contest. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
And thank you.
My conversation with John Bohannon, the Gonzo Scientist, about the competition he began will be featured on this week's program. I'll also be talking college football with Dan Wetzel, who will set us straight on whether the two best teams in the country really will be playing each other this weekend, or whether it's just TV hype. We'll have a story from Buffalo about the Bills and a story about how the Living Heart Foundation is testing NFL veterans and helping them to live more healthy lives. And Bob Smiley will join me to talk about his new book, Follow the Roar, an account of the 604 holes he walked with Tiger Woods during the 2008 golf season. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.